Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Father God, we bring all glory to Jesus. We bring all glory to the one who is our friend, to the one who is our King, to the one who is our Savior. So today we pray that you would allow us to glorify you with the manner you are worthy. And my prayer is that every person in this room, every person listening on the radio, every person participating online, that every last one of us will have an opportunity to come to know you, to see your goodness and mercy and grace at work in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. Welcome to worship. This is our second service. We're thankful for the opportunity to gather together and to be here. We are excited to have our worship choir and worship band and orchestra with us today leading. Don't they look great, by the way? That's great. Come on now. Let's give a great... They didn't seem so sure, but I think you look wonderful. So you look great. So we're thankful for this worship ministry, and you're going to be blessed by them before this day is over, I promise you. We will pray for today, our missionary of the week and church of the week. Before I mention that, if you are a guest in the room, we are honored that you are here. We would love to know that you're here. And the best way we can do that is if you will take a moment to tear off the registration and to fill it out and then place it in the offering box as you leave. We would really appreciate you doing that. Secondly, here we won't come to your house, but we do have a gift to send you. You will enjoy, so please do that. Secondly, if you are a guest participating online, maybe you're watching for the first time or second time, or maybe it's been a while, we would love for you to take your phone out right now and text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. Just welcome to 256-322-6100, and that will give us an opportunity to connect with you. That should be on your screen right now. They're online. So our missionary of the week is actually a mission organization. It is the Marshall Baptist Association. The Marshall Baptist Association is a network of churches throughout our county that we serve together, we work together, we share resources, and we try to make a difference all across our county. Our director for the entire association is Mike Foreman. Mike and Marina are members here at First Baptist. We love having them here. Marina is here pretty much every week, and Mike is at a different church almost every Sunday, just encouraging pastors and getting to know them. So pray for them, pray for the ministry, and we're thankful for our sister churches. Our church of the week that we're praying for is Messiah Haitian Baptist Church. Now, this is exciting. Today is Messiah Haitian Baptist Church's 10th anniversary. And so we celebrate 10 years of ministry with them, and they're having a special celebration service. Yes, we do. We'll honor that together. Amen. 10 years ago, or a little over 10 years ago now, Dukinson Marillion, he and his wife Jackie used to sit right back here in this section, active members of our church, and they felt led to start a Haitian congregation. So we've partnered with them for the last decade, and what an incredible journey it has been. So I'll be leaving here when we're done today to go preach for them over there. So I'm going to send a greeting from you that we appreciate them and we're thankful for their ministry, and we look forward to partnering with them in the years to come. So be praying for them. Let's pray for those things and then we'll continue in worship. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for all the sister churches in the Marshall Baptist Association, from Douglas to Asbury to Grant to all the way over, Father, to Arab. We have churches down near Sardis and Carlisle, Boaz, Albertville, Gunnersville, everywhere in between. Lord, I'm thankful that there is a large footprint of gospel presence in our association. Lord, I pray that you'd bring revival today. I pray that men and women would give their lives to you, that boys and girls would come to know you. We pray that people would surrender a call to ministry. We pray that people would be called out to the mission field. Father, we pray that you would be the provider for all of the churches, some that are struggling to survive right now, and a few of them are really in a struggle mode. Father, we ask that you would bless them today with people who will come and worship, that they will find renewed strength in you to be a light and an influence in their community right where they are. Father, we pray for some of the churches without pastors, that you would be their provider and lead them. We pray for those that are seeking to minister to their local community and our whole world, Father, that you would bless them powerfully today and move among them and be with Mike as he directs and leads and cares and serves as a pastor to pastors. And Father, we pray for Messiah Haitian Church. I'm so thankful for the vision you gave Pastor Dukinson a little over 10 years ago. I'm thankful that he and his wife were willing to step out and to begin this congregation. I'm thankful that here this decade later, there are multiple people gathered today there, and they will begin in the next few moments for their service. As they gather, Lord, they will worship you in Creole. We will worship you in English, but we are sister churches together. And Lord, we celebrate that. So we pray that you would give them many more years of service for you. And Father, I pray that every person in this room would have an opportunity to sing about your goodness right now. Let it first come from our hearts. Let it come from our minds before it comes to our lips. And Father, as we open your word in just a moment, would you transform us? Lord, please do what you did in the early service again, but even more. Lord, transform us. Make us more like you. Lord, our simple prayer is what the hymn says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. God, we are yours, so we commit our lives to you. We sing about that now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, sing this as a prayer.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord. My moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands. my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
Still my soul will sing your praise. one last part out. Sing like never before.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
Father God, we worship your holy name from that psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We worship you for who you are. At the same time, Father, we take an opportunity to look forward to the fact that you are at work in our lives. And as you tell us in Psalm 47, that you, the Lord of hosts, are with us. You are our protector. You are our strength. So God, my prayer is for any person in this room today, any person listening on the radio, any person who is participating online, if they are in the fire right now, if they are in the storm right now, Father, may they find you, the Lord of hosts. So Father, we will sing about that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you will.
At his feet, he breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. O mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. Walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God is in control.
The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind, the waves, and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives away, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. Lord amongst your
to the Old Testament scripture where we see that the choir and those with the instruments came out in front of the army. And I want you to know that we do spiritual battle in worship, and I'm so thankful for worship leaders like this group that was behind us and how they lead and help do spiritual battle for us and lead us to the throne room together. If you want to know the reference for that song, we just sang Psalm 47. So just go home this afternoon and read Psalm 47 and be blessed by that and claim the truth of that scripture. So this is week two of our series, Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited. When was the last time you climbed a tree? Maybe you've been in a tree recently, but maybe it's been a long time. Well, one of the most well-known bedtime Bible stories has a little song that talks about that. I want you to sing this song with me if you know it. Okay, let me find the right key. Here we go. Zacchaeus was a... Wait, no, wait. Y'all are not singing. Who knows this song from childhood? I expect, if you don't sing it, we're going to do hand motions, okay? All right, so here we go. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior, I don't pass that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. Now, if you did not grow up in church and you're thinking, what is wrong with these people? Listen, I don't know if that song's politically correct or not, but I know it's a great song and we learned it as children. And I want you to know that song is the gospel in a nutshell. Did you hear it? Jesus sees you. Jesus calls you. Jesus changes you. And then he shows up in your home. He shows up in your heart. And he shows up in your life. Listen, don't let a children's song fool you, though. That message is for every adult in this room. This story applies to you. So we're going to look together at Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus. Now, let me set it up while you're turning. Jesus is nearing the end of his 3-year ministry on earth. He is walking toward Jerusalem, knowing it will be the last week of his life that he will be tortured, he will be crucified, he will come back to life. So as he's making his way to Jerusalem, about 15 miles outside of Jerusalem, he stops in Jericho. And while he's in Jericho, he has attracted a huge crowd, and that's where this encounter with Zacchaeus takes place. Look at Luke 19, beginning in verse 1. It says, he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they, who's they? Listen, there's always a they. Anybody ever tell you they are saying this, or they are acting this way, or they think this about you, and you always want to know who they are? Well, they, it's the religious leaders, it's the ones who were out to get Jesus, and they, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, this is an incredible passage you probably heard as a child, but I want to give you 3 adult messages for this right now. Things you can take and apply to your life today at whatever stage you find yourself. This encounter with Zacchaeus and Jesus. If you're writing things down, here's number 1. Care more about seeing Jesus than about how you look to others. Care more about seeing Jesus than how others see you. Zacchaeus had one advantage over you and me, and that was this, that he had lost his good name and reputation many years earlier. You and I probably still have ours, which is a difficulty for us, but he had no shame anymore. Why? He accepted shame and despise in trade for great wealth he acquired when he became a tax collector for the Roman Empire. So as a Jewish man, the Roman government would take Jewish men and they would ask them to be tax collectors, toll operators and tax collectors, because they would know the people and they would extort them for taxes and money, and anything above that they could keep for themselves. And they were hated by the Jewish people and considered traitors to their very own people. So he had given up a long time ago on reputation. So he was willing to act like a child and climb a tree because there was very little risk for him. He didn't care what people thought anymore. He didn't mind looking foolish. He cared more about seeing Jesus than he did about how he looked up in that tree. Listen, that's the difference, and that's the answer to your transformed life. If you want a John 10:10 abundant life that God provides, the answer is that you cannot care how others view you. You've got to care more for seeing Jesus than how others see you. Care more about seeing Jesus than how we look to others. And once we do, we will join a long list of people in the Bible who risked foolish actions and thoughts and found God's power. Let me make you a quick list of those people. The woman with the issue of blood. She could have been stoned for touching Jesus, but she risked it all to touch him and be healed. Peter, walking on water, Who jumps out of a perfectly good boat intending to stay dry? He risked looking foolish, but it paid off for a miracle of God. What about the fishermen who were leaving their boats and their father behind? It seemed foolish to leave your jobs and your family on a whim, but they risked and they followed Jesus and they changed the world. How about David dancing undignified before the Lord? If you remember a place, he embarrassed his wife. She said she was embarrassed. She was mad about it, because he danced in an undignified way before the altar of the Lord, and he did so with humility. But aren't you glad he did? He's the same one who later God said, "This is the man after my own heart." His risk paid off in faith. Then there was Noah, who built an ark. He risked his reputation to build an ark because of rain that was going to come. And remember, he had never seen rain in his lifetime. But he built an ark and obeyed what God told him to do. Then there's Gideon, who risked looking foolish and sent away thousands of men to keep a small handful to face an army so that God could get the credit, and they saw the miracle of God. Then there was David, like we talked about last week, who went into the riverbed in the valley of Elah. He gathered 5 smooth stones and he risked looking foolish to every Israelite and every Philistine that watched him and thought, what is he doing with those little stones? Who is he? What's he going to do? And the next thing you know, he's holding the giant's head in his hand, and they have routed the armies of the Philistines, and God has moved in power. And then think about the birth of Jesus, those wise men who risked their reputation and risked several months of their life to follow a star. Go out tonight and find a star and just decide you're going to follow it for the next month and see how that goes. It was great risk for them to do such a thing. So all of these acts of humility proved and preceded the power of God at work in their lives. Now, friends, hear me say this. If you want God to move in power in your life, then you're going to have to be willing to risk looking foolish in someone else's eyes. We've got to cast aside our pride. We have to humbly come before God and worship Him, humbly take the next step of faith, humbly risk our reputation to walk in obedience. And when we do, look what happened in verse 7. It says that Jesus was willing to look foolish with Zacchaeus also. Verse 7 says, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" So what we see is this. Zacchaeus risked looking foolish by climbing a tree to see Jesus. And Jesus says, "I'm going to your house," and he becomes his friend and his guest. And he risks looking foolish by eating with a sinner and a tax collector. So right here, and also in Matthew 11, and also in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is called a friend of sinners. It's not a good phrase. It's a disparaging phrase. They meant it in a bad way. Let me ask you a question. Answer me out loud. Aren't you glad that Jesus is still a friend of sinners? Come on, he is. He is. How about this? Sing this with me. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Lift it up. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Listen, friends, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is your friend today. Trust him. Pray to him. Turn to him. Receive him. Jesus is your friend. The second lesson we see from Zacchaeus and Jesus: if you intend to walk with Jesus, be prepared to confront your prejudices. Let me say it again. If you intend to walk with Jesus, be prepared to confront your prejudice. Why? Because Jesus will take you to people that you never intended to know, and he will take you to places you never aspired to go. Let me say that again. He will take you to people you never intended to know, and he will take you to places you never aspired to go. The Church of Jesus Christ has never been immune to prejudice. It's been a problem for thousands of years, but the reality is it is still a problem in the capital C church, the Church of America, the church here in America. Why? Because there's no human that is able to completely be immune from prejudice as well. The plague of prejudice comes in the form of racism sometimes. It can be blatant racism. It can be subtle racism. Listen, let me just give you a few ideas if you ever struggle with this. And you may be working on it, and it may be something that you came from a long past in history of people that were racist, and you've come a long way in not being so, but it can still be in the back of your mind at times. Let me tell you this. If you have to look around or lower your voice before you make a statement about another race, you are probably struggling with racism. If you have to start multiple conversations by saying, hey, I'm not racist, but you're probably about to say something racist. Not always. But a lot of times, that's exactly what comes next, I have found. And so we have to be careful not to have that. There's also can be a great deal of prejudice towards people of another economic or social standing. I have found that people with great means can sometimes have a preconceived idea about the poor among us. And people with very little means, can have preconceived ideas about the quote unquote rich among us. So how do we deal with that? How in the world do we work this in the church? Well, first of all, we've got to root it out in our own hearts. Do we have any type of prejudice towards another economic group, another type of person or something else? In this room alone, we've got people that if we were to all open up our bank accounts today, there are some of you that at the ends of yours, there are lots of zeros. And there are others of us that at the beginning of yours is a big fat zero, right? Somebody can say amen. I mean, y'all understand. We've got everything in between there. So how in the world do we make this work? And not only that, what about our different ideologies? Did you know there's Democrats in this room? And there's Republicans in this room? And there are independents in this room? And there are big-time Trump supporters and never-Trumpers in the room and everything in between? So how in the world do we make this work? And then did you know there are people that would view certain social things from a more liberal standpoint than others, and some social things from a much more conservative standpoint than others? How do we make this work? There are people that come from different nationalities and have people in their family that come from different races and ethnicities. So how do we make this work? Well, I have to tell you, it starts with a bold declaration that we want to be free of prejudice. We want to see people like Jesus sees. That's how it starts. It starts with that we don't see people for the different things that I mentioned, but we see people for how Jesus sees them. I think back to, I've shared this story before, but I'll just real quickly recap it. Back when I was 19 years old, I was the minister of music and youth at a church and in Bessemer, Alabama, and it was a racially tense time. Little has changed in 32 years. It was a racially tense time then, especially there in that area. Lots of racial difficulties and clashes, and there had been some clash this one day. It was a Wednesday that had happened earlier in the day. It was on the news. And so that Wednesday night, we were in Bible study. We were in prayer meeting with the adults. And then after prayer meeting, I would take all the students down for a special Bible study just for them. And so we're sitting in the room. And in the middle of that room, one gentleman who didn't have the sense to be quiet stood up in the middle of praying. And some discussion came up about the racial clash that had happened that day in the area, and stood up and he makes a statement in the church prayer meeting. He says that he thanks God for the KKK. And when he said it loud and proud, and when he said it, I just looked around waiting for someone to say, sit down, or someone to say, you can't say that, or someone, and it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And so I decided in that moment as a 19-year-old with some teenagers who were watching this gentleman and heard what he said, that could not stand. And so I stood up and I said, based on 1 John 4:7-8, it says, he that loves not knows not God. And based on that, I don't think you know God. We had a meeting that night, and but everything went fine. I mean, it did. I kept my job, and he stayed around. But the truth is, I wasn't going to let that moment go without those students hearing somebody stand up for truth and for what Jesus would have stood for. In my mind, if you let a phrase like that go in the church, you might as well write Ichabod over the door and go home, which means God is dead. and not here. The reality is, now you say, well, that's extreme, Pastor. No one's going to stand up and say that here. You're right. No one's going to stand up and say that here. They're not. But I will tell you that we can, inside our hearts, there can be a prejudice that's deep that only we know, that we see. And so the reality is, I can struggle with that at times myself. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to make a renewed commitment to see people the way Jesus sees them, to love people the way he loves them, to serve people the way he serves them, to care for people he cared for, and to be a friend to the people that he is a friend with. Aren't you glad that when Jesus was tempted to be prejudiced, that he fought against that temptation and did not give in? You're saying Jesus was tempted to be prejudiced? The scripture says Jesus was tempted on all accounts. I would surely say he had a temptation to make a quick judgment on people he saw, because just like anyone else, he was fully human as well as fully God. So where he was tempted, he did not. And what a friend he was to people from all walks of life. Aren't you glad? That's you too. Sing this with me. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every He knows your weakness. He knows mine. He knows when my heart is quick to judge others off of reasons I shouldn't. So I need to take him my weakness and say, God, mold me and shape me more like you. Would you ask him to do the same in your life? The third lesson from Zacchaeus and Jesus' encounter: a changed heart should lead to a changed life. A changed heart should lead to a changed life. Look at verse 8. It says this: and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, and he knew he had, he said, if I've done it, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. Friends, let me tell you something. When your life is changed, your life will be changed. When the lost are found, the found find new ways to live. It's just true. Are we living differently? If not, then maybe you need to truly come to Jesus. Let me be very clear for a moment, because I don't want anyone to have the wrong idea. I believe there will be a day and time when the Lord returns, and we will see in the end who knows the Lord and who doesn't. And we will see that heaven has been populated and hell has been populated, that there will be many Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, and all the like that will bust hell wide open. Why? Because there are people that have walked down an aisle of a church and grabbed the pastor by the hand, and you can meet the pastor and not meet the master. Listen, it's important to understand that shaking the pastor's hand and saying, I want to be a member of this church, and I'll get up here and get in the water and be baptized. Okay, that's great. But if you've never received the grace of Jesus, his salvation, his new life, then all those things are just steps in joining a club and an organization. Friends, I want to encourage you, if there's no life change in your life, give your life to Jesus today. Say, Father, I need you. I'm thankful you've let me be in church for years. I'm thankful for all that. But God, today, I need your salvation. Ask him to change you. But maybe you have been changed, but you've just sort of struggled over the years. I understand that. Listen, the greatest enemy for the life of a believer today is a five-letter word. Here it is, D-R-I-F-T, drift. Because it's so easy to know Jesus and then just to start to drift off center away from him. You know how it happens? All by itself. Why? Because you have to be moving forward in your walk with Christ. If you stop, you will drift. You will. How do I know it? Personal experience. personal experience. It's what happens. So it's a daily renewing of the mind that says, God, I need you. I want you. You are my friend. You are my Savior. You are my King. I need you to come and move in power. I want to walk closer to you. So friends, if you've been struggling and maybe you haven't had the changed life recently, I would encourage you to go back to that. And I think some of the ways you can do that are just what we've learned from this story, because that's the calling of God for us. These things that we've talked about affect your mission and the mission of God for his bride, the church. Why do we know that? Look at verse 10. He ends by saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We must keep doing what Jesus came to earth to do. That's why he left you here. That's why he left me here. Have you ever wondered why the moment you gave your life to Jesus, he didn't just bring you instantly home, you die instantly and go to heaven? That makes the most sense. You'd be free of all the cares and worries of this life. You'd be free with the difficulty of this life. You'd be free with the mistakes and troubles and trials and sin that's still going to come in this life. So why wouldn't the second we give our life to the Lord, him take us gloriously home to spend eternity with him? It's because he desires that we keep doing what he came to do, and that is to love others, to share the gospel, because that is the calling. He came that the lost might be found. That is your calling and mine. But I want you to think about something. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus said these words to Zacchaeus and everyone who was listening. Since he said these exact words, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It's been 2,000 years. And do you realize that back then, all of the lost people, the pagans, they thronged to get to Jesus. They wanted to be around him. They wanted to sit at a dinner party with him and enjoy a meal next to him. They enjoyed being around the Savior. And then did you realize that all the really religious people of the day, they despised him and didn't want anything to do with him, and they avoided him at all costs, and they tried to trip him up as much as they could. And it's been 2,000 years, and everything is reversed, because now religious people tend to be the ones who are in church, and for the most part, I'm talking about the church at large, and for the most part, lost people who don't know Jesus, who need Jesus, don't want anything to do with that bride of Christ. So what happened? Well, I don't think Jesus changed a bit. So what happened is his church changed. And I'm talking about the capital C church of the world, the capital C church of America. If we're not careful, what's happened is we've become much more judgmental and all about rules and regulation and less about the grace and less about getting our hands messy and more about presenting a good front at different times. So it's important that if we want to live the Zacchaeus life, we want to live the life where God moves in power and uses you in power and makes a difference in your life, you and I have to be willing to be real. We have to be willing to come humbly before the Lord. We have to be willing to submit to him and get rid of our pride. We have to be willing to go where he would go, to be with the people he would be with, to love the people he would love, to get messy with those we need to get messy with. It's going to get messy at times too. There have been people that have come in and out of the doors of this church that their values don't match up with ours. And every now and then someone will say, well, what are we supposed to do about this? How do we help this person? What do? We thank God they're here, and we share Jesus. We just keep preaching Jesus because Jesus didn't have a problem being with them. And so we shouldn't either. And so we seek to be a church that says, whosoever will may come. We cannot answer for every church on Marshall County. We can't answer for every church on Sand Mountain. We can't answer for every church in this nation, but we can answer for First Baptist Church Albertville. And we can say today that we will be a whosoever will may come church, that anyone is welcome to be here to discover the grace and power of God. And that the best way we can do that is to be a friend of Jesus, because if you want to be a friend of Jesus, you will be a friend of sinners. So that's what he's called us to do. So how do we take this and apply it to our lives? Think of these three lessons really quickly. First of all, care more about seeing Jesus than about how we look to others. Put away our pride, surrender to Jesus, risk looking foolish. I shared this story, I think I've shared it maybe twice over the last 11 years or so, but when we lived in Maine, our favorite restaurant was a Thai restaurant. It's a very small restaurant, kind of strange. It was actually attached to the airport. The airport was very, very tiny there, and so the restaurant, you would go up to the airport to eat. It was a wonderful Thai place, and you enter from the outside, And so we would go to eat there often, honestly, a lot. And so the owner, his name was Kronzak, he was the chef, he was a great man, we were friends. And one day, a group of college students came in, and they came, they were going to go skiing on the slopes in Maine, and so they stopped through here, and someone told them it was a good Thai restaurant, so they came in to eat lunch, and they're eating lunch. And one of the young ladies gets up and walks into the restroom. And it was kind of funny because you had to go through the airport to get to the restroom. So it's like going through security to go to the bathroom. But anyway, so she goes and it takes a little longer than normal to get to the restroom. And so while she's gone, one of the guys that's there says, "Do you know who she is?" And he said, "No." He said, "She is the granddaughter," and he points to the wall, a picture of the king of Thailand on his wall, big picture. They honor their kings and queens. He says, it is his granddaughter, and calls her by name. Well, Kronzak immediately panics a little bit because they highly value their royalty. And we think about what's happened this week with the death of the Queen of England and all that will take place this week to honor her life, and rightfully so, and it will be a week of incredible celebration and of festivities and activities, and the nation will mourn and all those things. But the pomp and circumstance that will come with that, if you watch it, if you're one of those who like to watch those things, the pomp and circumstance that will come with that will be overwhelming. And so I want you to take that and put it into a scenario in this restaurant in Maine. So he finds out that there's royalty. The granddaughter of the king is in his restaurant, and she's gone to the bathroom. So Kronzak immediately gets on his knees, and he determines that when she comes back in, that he will serve the rest of the time at this lunch crowd from his knees, because he would feel like it would be dishonoring to her if his head was ever above her head while she was sitting down. That somehow that way he valued her family that much that is what he would do. Now, of course, she's very Americanized and said, no, you don't have to do that, and told him to get up, and he didn't have to do that for the rest of the time. But he was willing, and I'll never forget that, because what an incredible display of humility and what an incredible display of honor that he was willing to show to a granddaughter of his king. Now take that and put it into your life and mine. And can I ask you, when was the last time you bowed your knee before King Jesus? I'm not talking figurative. I mean, really. When was the last time you bowed your knees before King Jesus? All the honor that we will pay and respect this week to the Queen will be understandable. But friends, the King of the universe is moving in your life, and the King of the universe considers himself your friend and Savior. When was the last time you bowed your knee? I would invite some of us today to risk looking a little foolish and to bow our knees before King Jesus and ask him to do a powerful work in our lives and use us. Would you be willing to do that? I'll be honest. Over and over in the scripture, the risk of foolishness always preceded the power of God. So will you risk it in your own life? Second, maybe you intend to walk with Jesus. You've got to be prepared to confront those prejudices. Maybe you're like me, and little things just creep up in the back of your heart and mind at times. And listen, every time it does, it needs to die 1,000 deaths. Every time we ask God, chip away this. God, melt this away. God, let me see people the way you see people. Let me love people the way you love people. Let me judge people the way you judge people. Because you may think you're a good judge of character, but would you agree Jesus is better? So ask him to let you judge people the way he judges people, and ask for that. And then lastly, to remember that a changed heart leads to a changed life. I want to encourage you today to make a renewed commitment to live changed, to live according to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, to let people see that if you've drifted some, to come back through his word, through worship, through prayer, come back. Come back to center with him through serving. Come back to loving others. Come back. Come back. So our invitation today is this. We're going to sing with some music this time. What a friend we have in Jesus. Because the one who is our friend would want us to be the type of friend that would draw others to him. So my prayer is not what kind of friend do you have in Jesus, but what kind of friend are you to him? So for some of us in this room, you need to do like many did in the early service, and I would encourage you to have the courage to look a little foolish and just to come and get on your knees. Now, you physically can't do that. Just come and stand. But to bow before King Jesus, he alone is worthy. And ask him to do this miracle work in your life to use you in power. Be reminded again of the need for that, that he is the Savior King who deserves all of our attention and humility, and our pride belongs to him. And then maybe for some, it's the renewed commitment that we make that we want to live differently, that we want to chip away of a prejudice or a difficulty we find or how we see, but whatever the case may be. Maybe God's calling you to come and unite with our faith family. We have several families who've been visiting with us for a while. If you say, this is the place God wants us to be, you come. We'd love to have you unite with us. Maybe you realize you've never given your life to Jesus. Come, I would love to help you settle that. That way you don't have to worry about that anymore. We can settle it today. Maybe for you, you're making a call for believers' baptism. You've already followed Jesus through salvation, but now you want the world to know it. Whatever the case may be, what a friend we have in Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? He will bear all your sins and griefs, as the song says. He is the friend we need. He is the King. He is the Savior, and he is your friend. So if you're here and you've never, or it's been a while maybe since you've bowed the knee to the King, would you be the first to do that? To set aside pride and come humbly before him? Maybe you're dealing with an issue or you're praying for someone else who is. Would you bow the knee, bend the heart? God, would you have your way among our time now? Move in our hearts and lives as only as you can. That's our prayer, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.